Good afternoon and welcome this afternoon. Yes, take out your Bibles, follow along, test what I say, make certain it is in accordance to God's Word, as we're going to look at a question that I received. One of the blessings and challenges of being a preacher is people come and ask you questions. Sometimes they're very young people. I remember when I was a kid, I must have been maybe 9 or 10, I went up to Brother Hoyt Houchin, an amazing preacher, and I came up to him after church. Everybody's walking through. They're shaking hands, telling him, good job, good job. I get to him and I say, so let me just get this straight. We're supposed to love our enemies, right? He says, yep. I said, what about Satan? You know, he's a lot smarter guy than me. I wish I remembered his answer, because I'd kind of like to know. But so a week and a half ago, Kaz comes up to me and he says, Jared, I want you to do a sermon on Sunday on this subject. I said, okay, what's the subject? He said, what's more important, prayer or the Lord's Supper? And I said, well, okay, that's not a normal sermon that I would do. And not everybody who asks me questions or gives me sermon topics, they don't always become sermons. But there's something in here that we can definitely work with as practical lessons for us. And so I want to cover this subject, what's more important, prayer or the Lord's Supper? Let's begin with just the possibility of whether we can answer that question. Is there such a thing as more important commands than others? And the answer to that is yes. There is such a thing as commands that are more important than others. That was a raging debate in the first century, wasn't it? On multiple occasions, Jesus deals with this, or he's either asked it or he asks somebody else, and that is, what's the most important commandment of the old law? Jesus does not say, back away from me. There is no most important law of the Old Testament. They're all equal. That's not what he says. He says, here it is. There is a most important law to the Old Testament. It is love the Lord your God. And essentially love the Lord your God with everything. And as a freebie, he adds in, the second one is just like it. And that is love your neighbors as yourself. So we find that there are priorities. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, Jesus points out that the Pharisees had missed the priorities. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. So he looks at the Pharisees and says, all right, you guys have been focusing on how to give, and you're giving all these little, focused on little seeds, and you're missing the bigger parts of the law, which tells us there are bigger parts of the law. In this case, he says, what was more important than giving was things like justice and mercy and faithfulness. So absolutely, we could have an answer. There might be one more important than the other, prayer versus the Lord's Supper. However, Jesus then gives us another answer, and that's in the very next part of that verse, Matthew 23 and verse 23. Jesus says, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. So there may be some commands more important than other commands, but all commands are important. Doesn't matter. If God says do it, you might say, well, there are other things that are more important. There might be. But what he's told you to do is also important. You must do it. So we're not going to be looking at it and say, okay, is the Lord's Supper more important than we don't have to pray? Or do we have to pray then we don't have to do the Lord's Supper? No, we're commanded to do both. Therefore, we must do both. They're both very important. It does lead me to a question, though. How can we tell? If there's priorities, how can we know what's most important? And the answer to that is, we can't. Not unless God tells us. I mean, for a long time, they've been debating what's the most important law of the Old Testament. And they didn't have an answer until an authoritative figure came and said, this is it. When Jesus came and said, the most important commandment is love the Lord your God with everything you've got. Now there's no debate. We are asked the same question. We know the answer. We need somebody to come and say, here is what's most important. So we should be very cautious about answering this question because we don't have the authority to determine which command is more important than the others. Now throwing that all to the wind, I'm going to give you an answer. Here it is. The answer is prayer is most important. And here's my reasons. I'll give you five reasons why prayer is more important. First, because it's commanded to do constantly. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, not an occasional thing, not a rare thing. It says, pray without ceasing. Does that not make prayer incredibly important? Then in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the apostles show up and they show how important it is because they come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. When did the apostles say, teach us to partake of the Lord's Supper? And all their time with Jesus, they didn't ask him how to do that. They didn't ask him what was the proper way or anything like that. And then if we just take the amount of times and the amount of places, the Bible talks about prayer from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Every book seems to have something about prayer, making it important, 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 important. And that also makes it timeless. So take sacrifices. Sacrifices are in the Old Testament. They weren't necessarily before the law of Moses, but then you have the sacrifices and now they don't exist now. And so we realize that they were for one particular time period, such as maybe the Sabbath. But prayer is before Moses, during Moses, after Moses. Prayer is universal, timeless. That makes it more important. And of course, it is more important because Jesus would spend an entire night praying in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, but he only partook of the Lord's Supper once. So, you now have your answer. Of course, really the Lord's Supper is more important. And I have five reasons why the Lord's Supper is more important. Because it is rare, that makes it more special. It's something that's not just done at a constant time, but it is done on very special events and special occasions. It's done on the first day of the week as we commemorate Jesus being resurrected on the first day of the week. Its rareness makes it special. Because of the strong condemnation that comes with the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, when they're not doing this correctly. I don't know of any passage on prayer that is nearly as strong as this. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's never stated of prayer. Because it unites us in Christ in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 through 17. He looks at this and he says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the body of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And so he says, this Lord's Supper is so important because it's what unites us together. And it's important because Jesus is the one who instituted it. Prayer was from way before, but Jesus instituted it. And look at when he instituted it, on the night in which he's betrayed. On this night in which he's about to die on the cross, this is what's on his mind. This is what he's preparing, and he prepares the Lord's Supper. And I put up there 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 26. Paul observes that point. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, and then he goes through and says, here's the rules he made. That makes it important, doesn't it? And then finally, because the Lord's Supper is Christian specific, lots and lots, perhaps almost all religions have prayer. But only Christians have the Lord's Supper. That makes it special, right? Did you see what happened there? We had five reasons on each side as to why the other one's most important. I want us to consider this because rather than necessarily answering the question, what's most important, prayer or the Lord's Supper, what we get is an understanding of these sort of questions and a principle that we need to understand when there's disagreements about opinions like this. And so understanding difference of opinions, first of all, just because you have reasons doesn't mean you have valid points. Understand almost everybody, I mean, I can't think of anybody. Pretty much everybody has a reason for what they do and what they believe. You may not appreciate their reasons, you may not respect their reasons, but they all have reasons. That doesn't make them right. You have reasons for what you believe and for what you do. That doesn't make you right. We've been looking at Sunday morning on 2 Corinthians. We've been looking at Paul and this argument that he's an inferior apostle. You notice that they all had reasons for it? Does that make them right? They have a long list of reasons that says, hey, we're right because Paul, he's obviously an inferior apostle because he didn't convert me. He hasn't converted nearly as many people as Apollos or this other person has. He is unimpressive and his speech is contemptible. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, he even says he's the least of the apostles and he's not even fit to be an apostle. He said that he would come visit us, and he hasn't come visited us yet. Therefore, Paul is an inferior apostle. They had reasons. Reasons don't make you right. Everybody has reasons. That doesn't make you right. And just because you have good reasons doesn't make you right. Now, all of Paul's reasons, the ones that are in 2 Corinthians, those are awful reasons. They're not thinking straight, in my opinion. But what about the list that we had for prayer? Those were scriptural reasons, weren't they? What about the Lord's Supper? Those were scriptural reasons. But they're only partially correct. For example, the argument was the Lord's Supper is more important because it unites us in Christ. We looked at 1 Corinthians 10. It is true. The Lord's Supper unites us in Christ. But did you notice what wasn't there? A statement that says, therefore, the Lord's Supper is more important than prayer. Get this concept. And you can understand what people are the mistake people are making when we talk about, say, like baptism. Baptism, same as a similar argument. Baptism isn't necessary because we are saved by faith apart from works. You go to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, guess what you find? Absolutely true. We are saved by faith apart from works. The problem is their conclusion is incorrect from that. Just as somebody might say, well, since the Lord's Supper unites us in Christ, that means it is blank. That's not what it said. It just said it unites us in Christ. And yes, we're told that we are saved by faith apart from works, but that does not equal, that does not mean and necessitate that we're saved apart from faith. So you have reasons, and you can find scriptures for your reasons. That still doesn't mean you're right in your conclusions. And third, to go along with this, being fully convinced doesn't make everyone who disagrees with you wrong. That was a really hard concept for me because I was very convinced of everything I believed. I mean, I just was convinced I was right. And that meant everybody else was wrong. You either join me and we're right or you disagree with me and you're wrong. I don't care what your reasons are. Well, we should be convinced, but that doesn't make everybody else wrong. So Romans chapter 14. Starting in verse 4, it says, who are you to judge the servant of one another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. So they're all going to have their reasons, and they're all convinced those reasons are true, but those reasons and their being convinced of it did not mean the others are wrong. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he who gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. So we get this basic concept. You can be convinced. That doesn't mean everybody who disagrees with you is wrong. So when are they wrong? Well, I have it right up there. When they're ignoring, misusing, or outright contradicting God's word. That's what makes us wrong. Not whether we're convinced. Not how many arguments we have, not even how many scriptures we have to support our argument, but whether we are accurately using God's word. That will be the ultimate judge and test. I got in this argument once, and it was just a very frustrating one, and it illustrates this point. And I know I've told it to you before, but it was with this guy after I had preached a sermon on baptism, on it being necessary, and he came up to me and he said, I believe Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9. And I said, I believe Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 as well. I also believe 1 Peter 3:21, which says, corresponding to this baptism now saves you. He said, no. I believe Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Do you understand what he's doing? I pick one passage and my understanding of that passage, and it negates the rest of Scripture. Whereas the correct answer is, they're all true. They're all right, and we have to make them all work together. He was ignoring some Scripture. Some people misuse Scripture. Some people just outright disagree. There was the other time where somebody said, I said to them that we can fall from grace. They said, no, we can't. I show it to the Scriptures, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. You have fallen from grace. He points at it in the Bible and says, that's not true. Well, there's your problem. You're pointing at Scripture and outright denying it. Who's wrong? Now, that doesn't make me right, but it made him wrong. Okay, so understanding differences of opinions. I want to say one more thing about this before we really wrap it up. And you'll notice I haven't given you a good answer yet, right? Which one's most important, prayer or the Lord's Supper? Doesn't that kind of seem like a hypothetical question? Like a curiosity from a young boy? It's a real question. And it's a real issue that does actually come up. because there have been churches that have struggled with people trying to answer that sort of question and impose it on other people. And it goes a little bit differently than that, not which one's more important, but which is the assembly supposed to be all about? What should the focus of the assembly be? And it's funny because it depends on who you talk to as to what answer you get. So if you ask a preacher, guess what answer you get? Preachers almost always say, we need to dedicate the time to the sermon. And they put all the emphasis on the sermon. But if you talk to the song leaders, they frequently say, no, we don't put enough songs up here. We need a whole lot more songs. We need a lot more emphasis on praising God. And then there are several people within congregations, and they say, no, the focus should be on the Lord's Supper. And that should sound just a little familiar to our question. And they say that the assembly, the focus of the assembly is the Lord's Supper, and everything else we just kind of do, but we're really, all of it's going to center around, be like tire spokes focused on the Lord's Supper. And that's been coming up, right? And then there are those who put emphasis on prayer. We did that even last week. We said, you know what? It is a time for us to emphasize prayer. And so we set aside. This sermon was supposed to be done last week. We pushed it aside and said, prayer. We're going to do prayer right now. Now, that's one thing to do this one time. It'd be another thing to say, no, this is the way it's going to be from now on. You know what I've never heard? I've never heard anybody argue the other one, which is really kind of funny. Nobody's ever said the center of the assembly should be the collection. That's actually pretty funny. We talk about the Lord's Supper being commanded to be taken on the first day of the week. That's not true. It is commanded to be taken. You will not find the command to take it on the first day of the week. We find that by example. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the example, right? They partake of the Lord's Supper. We see a positive, authoritative example for it, but with the collection, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, you see on the first day, verse 1 and 2, first day of the week, they're supposed to do that. But I've never seen anybody say that should be the center of it. I don't know. That's just an interesting thing. We actually got so sidetracked for a while in this congregation. I don't know if you noticed, but for a long time, on Sunday evening, we would make sure we offered the Lord's Supper a second time and not make a mention at all about the collection. We didn't put the basket up there. It was just completely forgotten. Lost sight of the focus. So which one of those should we race through because the other one's important? And you know the answer to that, don't you? They're all commanded. They're all important. It's all our focus. And we don't pick one over the other. They all should matter to us. Whatever your reason for picking one over the other or liking one over the other, we can't take God's commands and say this one's important and this one's not. They are all important, and we must do all of them. I hope, beyond just the consideration of the question of what's more important, Lord's Supper or prayer, I hope you'll really spend some time thinking about how do we deal with differences when one person says one thing and another person says another. And really to self-examine ourselves and not think, since we have reasons we're right, since we have Scripture, we must be right. And since we're fully convinced, we must be right. Our study and our humble self-examination must be deeper than that. So, I enjoy our questions. I look forward to additional questions. Never know when they might become a sermon. Thank you for your time and for your attention. If there are any here who are not Christians, we always offer an opportunity for you to become one because, while everything matters in the assembly, this is a very important part. Christianity is about changing people. It's about offering people an opportunity to go from being lost to being saved, from being a stranger to being a child of God. And if you're not yet a Christian, we offer this opportunity right now, right here. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died and was resurrected 3 days later? If you believe that and you're ready to make a commitment to Him, then you're ready to go on this process. We're told we need to repent of our sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. We're told in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, we need to confess our faith. And we're told in Acts 2, verse 38, and many other passages, we need to be baptized into Him. All of that can be done right here, right now. And we invite you to do so. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, we invite you to come back, confess your sins, and we'll pray for you, and God has promised He will forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Live for Jesus, oh my brother.